After Hours, a short form of Why Didn't You Test That podcast here at Custody Software. I'm Rich Jordan, Solutions Enterprise Architect. We take a water cooler conversation, one we get involved a lot in. You've just started talking on the intro.
Yeah, I know. Look, this is prime mini pod stuff.
And welcome back to the next in the series of the mini pod, Why Didn't You Test This After Hours. Joining me again, we've got Ben Riley, Chief Troublemaker. I think you introduced yourself last time, didn't you, Ben?
Yeah, I've got to maintain that now.
I was sad that you removed my title from the webinar as Chief Troublemaker. You had actually signed that to me, and we changed it to my actual title, which is Solutions Engineer.
But just spreading it around.
I'll earn it back.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you're going to do an amble, but I'm diving in. Lena's, when I asked what should we talk about on the mini pod today, she was talking about whether a hot dog is a sandwich. That was her contribution. So I feel the title is accurate.
You said come with an interesting hot topic, like a spicy topic. And I was like looking at Google and that came up as one of them. And I'm like, I think that's rather interesting.
Is it? A hot dog isn't a sandwich though. It's a hot dog.
It by definition is a sandwich. So I don't know. There's controversy here. And Rich, you would be the one to weigh in on which side is right.
I'm not an authority by any means, but my personal opinion is it's not. So after that clearly hot topic taking priorities, I guess the main thing that we were going to discuss today is one around public speaking. Just kind of giving a little preamble and a bit of a plugging of some of the things we've been doing. Out there in the world, a podcast we've just done is with Alex Martins from Catalon. Through that, we talked a lot about AI within testing, both in testing and broader kind of quality IT development. We've also done a pod very recently, soon to be released, with Colin Hammond from Scopemaster, shifting left to talk about requirements not being written properly. How does that manifest themselves when it comes to testing? But the main topic of today will be around public speaking and webinars. And as Ben alluded, a webinar that we've been doing on test data.
So many preambles going on here. Big fan. We were talking about test data strategies. We were showing a little bit of how people could get started, as well as some of the fundamentals to get into, some of the pitfalls, problems, various bits to try and get right rather than get wrong. And Lena, I think it was your first delving into public speaking. Is that right?
Yeah, it was the first major one. So I've been a guest on one other webinar where I showed a little bit of a demo. It was like 15 minutes. But this was the first time I've done a official Curiosity-sponsored webinar, and also one where it's my demo is kind of the bulk majority.
Were you nervous?
Extremely. I always am before. Yeah, I think so, especially because for me, for some reason, even though I give demos and I work with customers day in and day out, and that's kind of a form of public speaking in and of itself, the moment something is recorded, I get instantly more anxious, no matter what. I don't know why. I feel like the stakes are higher. Yeah, you'll make a mistake and it's on, you know, the internet forever. Like that's, yeah, that's how I was viewing it.
Public records, people find out, yeah.
One of the other points and the interesting thing you said just before we started recording, it's the apprehension, isn't it? It's leading up to that first word.
And, exactly. And
I guess there's a very in the moment question, bearing in mind we're recording now, and that do you feel as nervous as you did 5 minutes ago?
No, I feel completely fine. Before, I think too, I'm just kind of an anxious person, which makes public speaking really interesting. But when I was looking at the link to go into the software we're using to record the podcast, I was like, oh God, I'm going to say something terrible. I'm going to just mess this up. It's going to be bad. But then you click on it, you know, we talk for 5 minutes before we start recording, and then it's completely fine.
Yeah. Just I mean, there's still time, Nina.
So many ways to go south.
Common thing I noticed, especially with public speaking and demos or people showing software, after we finished, you said you went quite quickly. You felt like it. And I don't know if you meant like the time went quickly or if you felt like you just sort of, you know, rush through the whole thing. What was your sort of, do you have any, you know, PTSD?
The best advice I got before, which I tried to apply, and I don't think I did like 100% perfect execution on, was to slow down your speaking by 20%. And I naturally talk really fast. So I was like, oh, I need to slow down probably by like 40%. And I really, really tried, but it's hard when you're nervous, right? I don't know if you guys feel the same way where you just like find 100%. Your cadence going faster and faster.
Yeah, 100%. Me and Rich, you, I don't know if you remember this. A few years ago, I introduced Rich to do a talk at like a DevOps summit.
It was
you remember that?
The data one.
I had like 2 minutes to just basically talk, like maybe there was two slides or something, and I had it all in my head. And I was like, right, this is nicely placed out. I finished saying what I wanted to say after about 12 seconds. It's good advice. Try and slow down or just have so much material you can't get through it. I don't know.
That's a mitigation strategy. It's like, what do I do if I mess up? I think thinking about those things helps a lot, actually.
I think there's an interesting thing there around, like, imposter syndrome, isn't it? Around the thought that you're going to mess up, or, you know, there's another one that the thought that there is someone in the room that's going to call you out for saying something wrong, right? And the reality is it's just fear of trepidation. It doesn't actually
It's all internal.
Yeah,
it's all internal.
Actually, definitely. If you get into the mindset that the audience is there, that, you know, you are probably the most knowledgeable person in the audience talking about what you're talking about. Thank you. But also the audience are there to learn and support you, right? They're not there to catch you out. There's a key definitely. Thing to keep in your mind there.
What, Rich?
A question for you, Ben. Have you had any nightmares when you've had to be speaking?
No, not really. Only because I think I quite enjoy absolute chaos when it comes to live events. So speaking of Hugh, when I first met Hugh, he did ask me, not first met, we'd first gone into an organization and he'd planned to do a 2-hour presentation. First hour, he asked if I could present the second hour. And I'd never seen the slides or anything. And that was terrifying, but also super fun because you just sort of clicked onto the next slide. Right. You know, can you get through it? Luckily, I knew enough about what we were doing, that sort of stuff, so it's okay. But that's probably the closest to the end. I wouldn't recommend that.
I've had a similar experience with you.
Oh no, this makes me afraid.
So many years ago, this is kind of one of the first times I was publicly speaking, right? So I was leading lots of teams, lots of doing internal conversations. Hugh invited me along to do a double act, as I thought it was, to talk around my experiences of test data and implementing test data in a large organization. So yeah, fine. Do I need to prep anything? No, just come along. We'll double act. I'll ask you the questions. You know, it'll be fine. I got introduced to give a solo presentation without any slides for an hour.
I'm sure it was
like yourself though. It's a bit of a kind of scenario in the first couple of minutes. Then you kind of get into your flow, right? You know, it's back to that. You know, you know your own scenario, you know what you're doing. I had another clagger that happened quite recently, actually. And this is kind of, Lena was talking about the amount of prep you do before you go into a kind of a demo or a presentation and, you know, get your slides right, turn off all your teams, make sure your demo is working. I was doing an in-person conference very, very recently and sorted all of that stuff out. We were halfway through the presentation, my Windows update notification comes up saying we will reboot in 5 minutes.
I've had that as well.
So it was an absolute nightmare that you had a 5-minute countdown when you know the presentation is going to last another 20 minutes.
I think you just have to wing things, though. Like, there is an element where, you know, you are live and sometimes things don't go as planned, no matter how much you intended to. But that's okay. I really feel like, in one way, it kind of makes you a bit more relatable and it makes you your talk that you're giving more interesting, too. Because I'm sure everyone has had a similar experience. So they're like, oh, this is a human being. And like, Ben, that kind of reminds me of how before when we started the webinar, I think it was like the day before in our prep meeting, you were just like, the best advice I can give is to just be casual, to not make it overly formal, and like it makes it more engaging for people. And I think that's so true. Absolutely. It's like, yeah, something happened to my computer and I don't have my slides, but let me still talk about what I came here to talk about.
Don't under prepare though, but make sure you're still a little bit prepared. So go on. So Lena, so we've got a couple of minutes from the presentation. Let's maybe, you know, plug the webinar a little bit more. What were you showing? What were you doing?
Yeah, so basically I showed an overview of the main capabilities that we have inside of our enterprise test data platform. So like scanning, profiling, masking, synth data gen, find and reserve. So like pretty much everything you can ever need related to test data. And I think it was interesting hearing some of the questions and answers that we got from our polls and also just overall in the webinar, where people were saying that they were really in tune with what their data does. Like they very much mm-hmm. understood what their data is. But then from there, it kind of trailed off where it's like, yeah, maybe we do a little bit of masking, maybe we do a bit of synth data gen, but no one was across the board saying, yeah, we have everything covered, which I thought really aligned to how, sure. you know, my experience working with customers. But what did you think, Ben?
Basically the same thing. Yeah, I was very surprised with that poll. People saying they sort of understood all their data. And so, I mean, it's quite a generic, quite an open-ended question. So you could interpret it, I guess, in lots of different ways. But we typically see, especially in data and data requirements, the data can be in such different states and arrays depending on who you are in the organization, like whether you can find it or not, whether you can, you know, get a server or not. Like there's just so much that I was surprised that there was a level of confidence with the response, which is good, but you do get the sense with past experiences that you could pull on that thread a little bit and it would unravel pretty quickly, unless there is some proper structure, or you're in just like a totally greenfield, like new space, you have got more control, I guess. That's kind of my primary takeaways, really. And so, you know, and some good questions. So there are lots of people asking questions, which is nice, because otherwise you are just shouting out into the void and hoping somebody is out there listening and not just emailing other people or, you know, scrolling through ASOS or something.
That is the scary part, I think, about giving a webinar versus demos and other public speaking things I've done, is it's not a two-way channel, really. It's you talking for a very long period of time, and then you have questions at the end. It's not a conversation, which I think makes it a lot scarier. But thankfully, I feel like we've always had really good audiences. Like people are really like lovely and engaged, and they ask great questions. So it definitely makes it like more fun from the presenter side as well.
For sure. Yeah, totally agreed.
Yeah, and I thought it was really interesting that also when people answered, like, are you interested in a test data course? It was a unanimous yes. And there was one comment saying that there's really no test data certification courses out there. So we offered one at the end of our webinar, just kind of expanding on all the things we talked about inside of it. That's a more formal training and you receive a certificate at the end. So it was really interesting seeing like people are definitely interested in knowing more about their test data. And also there seems to be a push around formalizing that education. Like what does understanding your data really mean?
There'll be a link into our sort of fundamentals course that you can sort of click through. It's free to sign up, get a certificate at the end. So, you know, you've got to know your stuff to get through it, but it shouldn't take too long. I would say it's a good course if anyone wants to have a bit of a look through and test yourself. What do you know? If you watch our webinar, maybe all the questions are in there. Maybe not. Who knows?
And you'll get a certificate that you can share on LinkedIn. What could be better than that? Thanks everyone, for the conversation. Thanks, Lena.
Thank you so much for having me.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Why Didn't You Test That podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to curiositysoftware.ie. And don't forget to subscribe for more episodes.